Hello and welcome to SourceCast, episode number 17. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. This week we're going to talk about Dell and the progress they're making with their acquisition with EMC. There's an update. IBM threw a party this week, and they're trying to make some friends. We'll get into that a little bit later. And we're going to spend some time with HP Inc. today. They didn't have a great week. We're going to talk about why. So with that, let's start the show. In the spirit of doing things differently, I'm going to kick the show off with HP Inc. HP Inc. did not have a good week. The company said that earnings from continuing operations declined 16% in the first fiscal quarter that ended in January 2016. Remember, Hewlett-Packard's fiscal year ends on October 31st. So they're down 16% in the fiscal quarter. Revenues fell 12% from the year earlier period. Printing revenues declined 17%. And even revenues from ink and other printing supplies are down 14%. Even ink, which is like the most expensive liquid or substance in the world practically, even that's down 14%. Hardware unit sales are down 20%, and PC revenue declined 13% in the first quarter. That is not good. We have talked about the problems that HP will probably be facing. We knew that printer sales were down. We knew that PC sales were down. But those margins are rough. To call back to a podcast from a couple of months ago, I expressed my concerns about HP Inc.'s ability to survive. Several trusted and respected news sources and associates within the industry told me that HP Inc. was going to do okay. I still, to some degree, believe that that's the case. But when you look at what Xerox is doing, when you look at HP Inc.'s performance, you really have to wonder. HP Inc. CEO Dion Weisler blames Windows 10 for the poor PC sales. Apparently, Windows 10 isn't driving new PC purchases. So Windows 10 did drive me to purchase a new PC or make one. When I speak to younger people, and I say that I'm at the ripe old age of 36, but when I speak to students in both high school and college and I ask them what products they like to use, a lot of them say Apple. But based on 2015 numbers, Apple is only commanding a 7.5% share of the computer market. So the majority of people are using PCs, although there is talk that low-end computers like Chromebooks are eating up a large percentage of the market, up to 16% at the moment. Which makes sense. They're cheap. You turn them on, they work, and most people surf the internet anyway. But that's still like 70% of the market. Most of that is probably enterprise purchases. It's becoming clear that people are buying PCs less often, but they're still using PCs in the majority of the market. Microsoft, with the free upgrade to Windows 10, maybe slowed down the upgrade process. The specs are relatively flat over the last version, Windows 8, but it's clear that the next upgrade cycle will probably force people to go out and have to upgrade their machines. Can HP Inc. hold out until there's another upgrade cycle with declining PC sales, with declining printer markets? From a consumer market perspective, phones have to be eating into the printer market. You can send something to your phone. You get directions from your phone. You can sign documents from a phone now. Here's where the critique comes in. The majority of the articles that are describing the declines that HP Inc. is facing state that they brought it upon themselves. Is it harsh? I'm not sure. But it goes into a failure to innovate, a failure to understand the market in which they provided products for, especially in the printer market. The common opinion is they should have seen this coming a while ago and should have been in front of it. But that goes back to the common critique. Why didn't Kodak invent Instagram? You have to have a culture of innovators. They also announced that they are going to eliminate 1,800 jobs. So you have a company that's declining in revenue, declining in sales, eliminating jobs. Does that sound like an innovation engine right now? On the other side, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise released a new phone, like an enterprise-focused smartphone that people are raving about. They're saying it is great. The hardware is awesome. It's responsive. It's well thought out, but it's on the Windows platform. So is this phone dead in the water? Here's a company that actually put out a great product, but there might not be a market for it. And speaking of the market, Dell got some good news this week. The FTC has approved their acquisition of EMC. Dell officials and insiders in the market are saying that the acquisition is on track to close. Another interesting note, which by the headline you would assume sounds negative, but actually is benign, trending towards positive. The banks that are backing Dell's loans are in the process of selling off senior portions of the loans, around $7 to $9 billion. There's been such a demand that the original target of $7 billion has been increased to $9 billion, which means the loans are viewed as safe bets and other investors are willing to purchase those loans. So good news for Dell. Moving forward. Like I mentioned in the intro, IBM had a party this week. One of the many conferences they have in a given year. This one is called Interconnect 2016. IBM announced they have a strategic alliance with VMware. VMware will now be available on their cloud platform natively. The Street says that's a great deal for IBM, but they're also wondering why VMware did this, because it undermines their own public cloud offerings. IBM also renewed their partnership with Apple. The talking points coming out of Interconnect was specifically around their Swift programming language. IBM is going to make that language available on their cloud platforms. They're going to make it easier to program in it and easier to develop applications. When Apple can stand on its own 2 feet in the enterprise world, I have a suspicion they're going to ditch IBM. The good thing for IBM is the relationship with Apple today is bolstering them. It's giving them more opportunities for business. It's getting their products on Apple devices. So there's still an opportunity. IBM did not buy a company this week, but that doesn't mean they're not looking. The talk on the street is that IBM is going to buy Resilient Systems. Resilient Systems is a firm that helps companies respond to cyber attacks. The company is based in the Boston area, and the talk is that the price tag is around $100 million. I'm going to combine the sentiment of a few articles. The acquisition of Truven has lit up the market in a positive way for IBM. Investors are starting to understand IBM's strategy with their acquisitions, and they're starting to buy into it. The company still has a long way to go for their vision to reach fruition and for the market to be ready. For instance, by 2020, healthcare analytics will be a $21 billion market. And thanks to Watson, IBM is poised to dominate. But Watson goes beyond healthcare analytics, and it's part of one of the key tenets and strategies of IBM for the future, which is ultimately big data and general analytics. And this is a crowded market. By 2018, the big data market is expected to be valued at $41 billion. So when we look at the specific healthcare market, which IBM is expected to dominate, and they're going to be a solid, if not major, player in big data and analytics, this is a massive opportunity for growth for IBM in the coming years. Last year, these businesses accounted for 35% of the total revenue of IBM, according to Morgan Stanley. And to round out this week's technical news, Microsoft is buying a company named Xamarin, which will help developers create cross-platform applications. The company is a cross-platform mobile app development provider. Say that 10 times fast. And it helps developers create apps across iOS, Android, and Windows. This is pretty transparent. They're certainly hoping that an application that is now developed in Android or iOS will easily port over to Windows, expanding their portfolios of applications and making the Windows mobile platform more attractive to end users. It's a smart move by Microsoft. They definitely need more apps. And shifting over to some news that you can use, I have one news item, and it's a question to my listeners. I would like your feedback. You know how to get a hold of me. Is the cover letter dead? An article in Fast Company. And of all of my career news sources, I think Fast Company is the major listicle company of the group. But they are pushing for the cover letter to be dead. They're saying that most companies recruit online, and a lot of the online software sections don't even include cover letter options. The suggested alternative is to add a summary to your resume and highlight your accomplishments. I would actually tend to agree with that. I think that makes the resume pop more. But for the people who have been hiring for years upon years, do you need a cover letter still, or can it go? And I'm going to leave you with that question. Thank you for listening. As a reminder, you can find this podcast on iTunes, on your favorite Android app, and when Google's podcast application goes live, it's already ready to go. We'll be back next week.